一爆開Brain Sun。Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, let us start our third section, Sing Him 174. Please be seated. In this section, I would like to present you the introduction of True Jesus Church in USA. Maybe some of you already watched this clip. And then followed by show some picture to think about the TJC in USA and then make a final conclusion to complete this one. How can I make the audit? It's about 20 some minutes.
Praise and thank God for His guidance throughout the establishment and growth of the holy work in True Jesus Church in the United States. Since 1930, over 20 churches and houses of prayer have been established in the U.S., and we have humbly witnessed the Spirit of God working in many ways. Through this presentation, we would like to share some of the general history and church developments in the U.S.
True Jesus Church in the Western Hemisphere was first established in Honolulu, Hawaii, but it was not until 1967, after the First World Delegates Conference, that church activity started in mainland USA. Upon returning from the conference, two U.S. delegates began to gather members together and to spread the gospel. From the mid-1970s, there was a steady increase of immigrants from Taiwan and Hong Kong, bringing new momentum to the holy work in America. In the summer of 1976, the first National Delegates Conference was held in El Monte, California. At the conference, the Evangelical Coordination Council was established to actively mobilize the holy work in the United States. At the time, there were no full-time ministers in the U.S. However, thanks to the guidance and arrangement of God, by 1986, three full-time preachers were added to the ministry. In the same year, the U.S. General Assembly was also officially established. The current USGA is comprised of five departments: Evangelical, Training, Pastoral, Literary Ministry, and Administrative. The United States is comprised of five regions: East, Central, Southwest, Northwest, and Hawaii.
True Jesus Church in Honolulu was established in 1930. Workers were sent from mainland China to continue the missionary work in Hawaii. In 1949, a worker found that the church had changed the mode of baptism. Unable to correct the error, that worker, along with the dedicated members of the True Jesus Church, left the apostate group and reorganized themselves. From 1950, the Lord kept the reestablished church intact, despite having virtually no contact with other True Jesus churches on the mainland. In the 1960s, a deaconess saw in a vision that God would send help to the fledgling church. In the vision, there were three small men dressed in white shirts. Years later, the vision came to fruition as ministers came to provide support for the Honolulu church. In 1974, a new chapel was purchased in Honolulu, and in 1978, a house of prayer was established on Maui Island. Family services were also established in Kauai Island, starting in 1989. A pivotal moment in the history of the Honolulu Church was when it rejoined the USGA in 1994. The Lord showed the church a vision of seven candles lined up by the pulpit, with six together and one set apart. The members took it as a sign that God wanted His church to be in unity as one body. By the mercy and grace of God, the Lord preserved the members over the years, and the Holy Spirit, truth, and visions from the Lord strengthened the church. As of fall 2016, there are 193 members registered in the Hawaii district.
The East region consists of nine churches and two remote area fellowships. In 1967, family services began in New York City. After the primary service location moved to New Jersey, membership continued to increase. In 1978, the Elizabeth Church in New Jersey was dedicated to God. Starting in 1979, the first Boston Family Service was held periodically. As families grew larger and more members attended universities in the Boston area, the frequency of family services also increased. They began holding spiritual convocations, and by 1999, the Boston House of Prayer was formed and a chapel was purchased in 2001. As membership increased, more local churches were eventually established in the East region: Queens Church in New York, Philadelphia Church in Pennsylvania, Hillsborough Church in New Jersey, and Tampa Church in Florida. There are also remote area fellowships in Washington, D.C., North Carolina, and Miami, Florida. As of fall 2016, there are 1,062 registered members in the East region.
The Southwest region consists of eight churches, one house of prayer, and three remote area fellowships. Family services in this region began in 1968, rotating among the homes of members. By 1975, a decision was made to purchase a chapel and establish a permanent location for worship services. By 1980, membership grew to over 100 members. A chapel was purchased in Garden Grove in 1982. And by 1985, there were 131 members in El Monte and 186 in Garden Grove. As membership continued to grow, more local churches were established in Southern California, including Irvine, Baldwin Park, Cerritos, and Canoga Park Church. And in 2007, the San Diego House of Prayer was established. In 1983, family services began in Phoenix, Arizona. Members would travel to Southern California to attend spiritual convocations. As membership increased, a chapel was eventually purchased. As of fall 2016, there are 1,334 members in the Southwest region.
The Northwest region consists of five churches and one remote area fellowship. Pacifica Church was the first local church established in the continental U.S. in 1969. A few families and students met every Sabbath despite traveling far distances to worship together. And after moving around several locations, a chapel was finally purchased and dedicated in 1985. Local churches in San Jose and Sacramento, as well as houses of prayer in East Bay and Seattle, were also established. As of fall 2016, there are 537 members registered in the Northwest region.
The Central region consists of three churches and two remote area fellowships. The Chicago church began when a deaconess moved to Chicago to join her children in 1979.
resulting in 7 members gathering for worship services. A chapel was later purchased in Chicago and dedicated to God in the year 2000. In Houston, the first spiritual convocation was held in 1981. After 2 years, land was purchased and a chapel was built and dedicated to God. A local church was also established in Dallas in 1992 after more members moved to the area. Remote area fellowships meet regularly in Austin, Texas and St. Louis, Missouri. As of fall 2016, there are 355 registered members in the central region.
Many local churches in the continental U.S. started off with foreign students and immigrants who had a sense of commission. They conducted family services, and membership would grow to a point where they were able to establish houses of prayer in local churches. To expand His kingdom, God prepared servants at various stages. These workers dedicated their gifts and labor in unity to help lay the foundation for the holy work and church organization. Under God's gracious guidance, churches were established one after another in the United States.
National Church Conference, or NCC, is an annual meeting held in November consisting of delegates elected from each church and house of prayer throughout the U.S. along with the USGA Council members. NCC is hosted by different local churches across the U.S. each year. The purpose of NCC is to discuss proposals that affect all churches in the U.S., and to receive updates from the USGA and committees, such as the Truth Research Committee. NCC was first held in 1976 and has been a good opportunity to discuss proposals and to collaborate on ideas and plans to benefit all churches in the U.S.
The Ministry Volunteer Program, or MVP, is an annual 1.5-week long summer event that began in 2008. MVP participants choose to volunteer in 1 of 4 to 6 church projects, in addition to receiving training for neighborhood flyering and personal evangelism during the event. The 3 objectives of MVP are to cultivate workers in local, national, and global ministries, to train youth in specialized areas of pastoral and evangelical work, and to provide opportunities for youth to serve God. The projects come from various USGA departments and include graphic design, fellowship games, religious education audio lessons, hymnal accompaniment recordings, online evangelism, and Spanish ministry. In addition to hands-on opportunities to serve, a substantial focus is placed on fostering the right attitude towards serving God through prayer and sharing.
Hosanna Outreach is an evangelical event that consolidates the efforts of local churches in a region to evangelize in areas that may be challenging for an individual local church. It typically involves hymnal worship, choral presentations, an evangelical sermon, and prayer in spirit, where visitors are invited to experience the Holy Spirit. The first Hosanna Outreach took place in the fall of 2000 in Southern California, and since then, has been held semi-annually. They are also held twice a year in Northern California. In the spring of 2012, the first Hosanna Outreach in the East Region was held at Hillsboro Church. The goals of Hosanna Outreach are to evangelize to truth seekers to come to believe, to mobilize the general membership to evangelize, to train and motivate more workers to further the work of evangelism, to consolidate TJC resources in evangelism, and to learn to acquire spiritual power from God's guidance and abidance. Originally, Hosanna was conducted in English to target English-speaking truth seekers. Later, Southern Californian Hosannas additionally targeted Spanish speakers, while Northern California targeted Chinese speakers. Visitors have received the Holy Spirit at Hosanna and experience our Lord Jesus through the sharing of the word and hymnal worship.
The Spanish ministry, a part of the USGA, supports evangelical and pastoral work in the Spanish language, both internationally and domestically. The International Assembly has assigned the U.S. to support the holy work in South and Central American countries. The goals of the Spanish ministry are to develop overall Spanish language evangelism in the U.S., to develop USGA-sponsored Spanish outreach programs like Spanish Hosanna, to develop Spanish language missionary training and volunteer programs, and to develop Spanish language ministry resources for evangelical outreach. In support of Argentina, U.S. members have attended their National Youth Theological Seminar as counselors. Visitations to the Dominican Republic occur every 2 months, one of which includes an annual summer group trip involving hymnal evangelism. In recent years, the Spanish ministry has become a project group at MVP, where participants can receive awareness of the needs in the ministry, as well as training for interpretation and translation into Spanish. This training has been useful for promoting church developments in the Dominican Republic. Domestically, Spanish Hosanna is also held to introduce the church's doctrines to the Spanish population in Southern California. Furthermore, in preparation for future church needs, the Spanish ministry is working on translating USGA religious education textbooks into Spanish. Spanish Bible studies also take place online and locally on a weekly basis. Participating in the Spanish ministry through these many channels has been an opportunity for members to serve God, cultivate personal spirituality, have fellowship with others, and experience the grace of God.
The National Youth Ministry, or NYM, is a part of the USGA's pastoral department and is dedicated to fostering servitude and fellowship among the nation's youth. NYM's general work team is comprised of representatives appointed by the GA and regional committees to focus on events and programs that cater to the youth. Events include the National Youth Servitude Training, where youths can learn and share together to better coordinate local youth fellowships, and the National Youth Retreat, a long weekend retreat where youths can have fellowship. NYM projects include the Ministry Guideline Project, which creates guidelines for holy work, like interpretation and hymn leading, as well as a Freshman Survival Guide and the Youth Servitude Guide, which are guidebooks of experiences and testimonies from youths. NYM events and projects have been good opportunities for youths to receive training, share experiences, and have fellowship.
Student Spiritual Convocation, College Youth Spiritual Convocation, Young Adult Spiritual Convocation. Regional events that help children in elementary school to use in the workforce to spiritually cultivate themselves with their peers are held regularly. Such events encourage participants to utilize time to pray and are aimed to help youth build their faith, transform their lives, and train them to serve God and the church in the future. SSC, the Student Spiritual Convocation, takes place twice a year, once in the summer for E2 to J2 students, and once in the winter for J1 to J2 students. There are separate SSCs for the West, Central, and East regions of the U.S. Under the guidance of pastors, coordinators, and group counselors, this has been a beneficial opportunity for students to draw closer to God and focus in prayer. The College Youth Spiritual Convocation, or CYSC, takes place every winter break in the West region and in the East region for college and working youth. Like SSC, it is 1 week long with recurring themes such as a life of victory or a life of servitude. The curriculum features a series on overcoming struggles, question and answer panels with pastors, group discussions, and topics related to the theme. Lastly, YASC, the Young Adult Spiritual Convocation, is a regional event that also takes place annually. YASC is a weekend-long seminar for college graduates and young adults who are in the workforce.
Beginning in 1993, the USGA started the Full-Time Minister Theological Training Program to train new full-time workers. The goals of TTP are to orient the students with Bible knowledge, to promote their knowledge, spiritual virtues, and wisdom, to equip students with ministerial skills in serving the Lord and His church, and to provide opportunities and guidance for students to perform ministerial duties and church administration. Currently, the duration of courses is 3 years, and TTP students are required to fulfill one additional year of practical training after completion of courses. Thank God that from 1993 to 2016, there have been 8 classes of students, with 16 out of 19 graduates ordained for full-time ministry. National Youth Theological Seminar, Pioneer Missionary Volunteer Program, National Adult Theological Seminar, Regional High School Theological Seminar. Along with spiritual cultivation seminars, the church in the U.S. has also developed short-term theological training programs for high school students, college students, and adults. RHTS, the Regional High School Theological Seminar, is a two-week summer event held every year, one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast. NYTS, the National Youth Theological Seminar, is also for 2 weeks in the summer each year. It is a national event for youths over 18 years old. Classes for these events include topics on a book in the Bible like Revelation, basic beliefs like water baptism, and occasional special topics like relationships and marriage. For many youths in the U.S., NYTS has been a turning point and breakthrough in their faith. Although it began as a smaller, study-centered event, it has gradually become a large-scale spiritual cultivation event. Since 1991, an average of 89 students per year have been trained at NYTS. Graduates of NYTS can attend a two-week program that occurs simultaneously, usually in the same location, called PMVP, the Pioneer Missionary Volunteer Program. Originally a graduate program for NYTS, PMVP was recently developed to train and direct the youth to help with missionary work overseas as well as local church work. Lastly, NATS, the National Adult Theological Seminar, is a one-week annual training typically held in the fall for the adults, and it follows a format similar to that of NYTS. A wide variety of age groups, from youths to the elderly, have mutually shared their experiences at NATS. Thank God that members have been able to feed on God's Word and feel the power of the Holy Spirit at these events.
The USGA sees religious education as a high priority. It has been tasked to create English RE textbooks for kindergarten to J2. Events such as the Religious Education Training Seminar, or RETS, and the Religious Education Training Workshop, or RETW, seek to continually promote this area of holy work by giving religious education teachers proper preparation and training. The primary goals of these events are to train teachers to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, to be a holy vessel for God, and a growing teacher who is always teachable, to be equipped to teach biblical knowledge and to guide students towards Christ-like behavior so that they can live a Christian way of life. RETS is a week-long seminar that occurs every 2 years, and local church councils select members to attend for training and prospective certification. Classes include analyzing the scriptures before you teach, music teaching, and lesson planning. At the end of a week of fellowship, discussion, Bible study, and prayer, participants complete a lesson practicum where they teach a practice lesson plan they have prepared. Participants must also pass tests, one of which is on the 10 basic beliefs, in order to receive certification. The RETW is a regional workshop that lasts for 2 to 3 days for RE teachers to receive additional training and examine areas of improvement. Lastly, the Religious Education Coordinators Workshop is a weekend workshop for RE coordinators and RE secretaries from local churches where issues and suggestions for religious education are discussed.
Thank God for all of His grace and guidance. Over the years, He has provided many opportunities for members to experience Him, receive edification, and have fellowship with one another. We know that we have much to learn, and humbly hope and pray that God continues to have mercy and lead His sheep to grow spiritually and glorify His name in the years to come. May all the praise, glory, and honor be to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
light.
And I'd like to show you some picture. I still want to borrow the brother to have a laser print pointer. Anybody have a laser printer? Do you know how to open this?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that was. Oh, okay. 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 Our church started from United States, started to develop from 1970, started to have organization. And this group of people are actually the pioneer. I think some of you may know or even related to you. 1970, a year now is 40 years. So after 40 years of effort, of course, under the blessing of God, our membership increased from less than 100, right, to right now it's 3,800. Oh. This one you know? Who? Elder Wu, right? The wife is still in Elizabeth Church. Ah. And this one? Yes, he's in East Bay. Elder Lin, John Lin, right? Oh. And this one is Priscilla's father, right? And this one is called Steve Yu. Actually, he belonged to originally El Monte Church. And his brother is right now already passed away, Rui Xiang's father, Rui Xiang's father's brother. And he was quite successful in business field. But 1982, he passed away in 40-some years old. So in Kanku Church Purchase in 1982, the first memorial service was held is for Brother Steve Yu. He has two sons. He is called Robin. He's called Roger. I don't know if some of you know them. Yeah. And this one, very possible is Sister Lee from Hawaii, Deacon Lee, right now passed away. And this one is Deacon Hom Tang from Hawaii. So he was quite fervent, and later on, he wanted to serve as a volunteer in quite one period of time, quite active in leading the service in Hawaii area. This one, who? You can guess? In Houston. Deacon Paul Wang. And this one is in Elizabeth Church. Yeah, Deacon Cao. And this one is in, I think, in St. Louis. Brother Jiong Ye. And this one is in Pacifica Church. Can you guess? Brother Samuel Liu. And this one is called to Chino Valley. It's Preacher Messi Chai. At that time called Deacon Chai. And this one right now moved back to Taiwan. It's a son of Elder Guo. This one called, what's his English name? They call Abel, yeah, Cai Ti Xiong. Yeah, he has a son in Hong Kong. A few years ago, son and wife moved back to Garden Grove or Irvine, right? And served as church council. So these are the early worker in 1970s. Now, right now, the church in, you are the what? Millennial generation, right? So right now, the mission has to pass to you. 40 years later, if the world can last another 40 years, right? I hope most of you can play a role to make the church grow. This is the first picture. Oh, by the way, this church is the so-called San Francisco Church in Sunset area. And in a residential area. And here, this is a garage. So they have a service in garage. And top is originally a living room. And they don't become a kitchen and dining area. And the bedroom serve as a RE classroom. Can anybody read Chinese? Here, what they say? Oh, okay. Here, New York Church dedication ceremony. And this trilingual sermon. And one delivered in English, another translated into Mandarin, and another one, I don't know what language. this is Brother Ye, Deacon Gao, Elder Wu. So in the beginning, they are very fervent, very quite fervent. Okay, now we go into another one. Okay. This is what? Fuzhou. China, right? The seventh spiritual convocation. It's about 1920 or 1930. The historical picture. This one, Nanjing. In 1948, spiritual convocation. Who can read? Here, who can read? This is a first baptism in Nigeria. So you see, here is True Jesus Church, right? CRS, Cross River State. And what is? Nigeria, okay? And Here is the date. Oh, who has good eyesight? Well, here's the date. Baptism, June 3rd, 1979. Right? This is the first baptism, the breakthrough of ministry in Africa, the first baptism. The first seed of Africa ministry, this person called Apan, and what we testified before, he was baptized in Bakersfield here, 2 hours drive, in 1978. And 1979, he invited our Walker to Nigeria and preach. It turned out he was religion vendor. What that means. He used a religion as a means for personal gain. So he was serving as a stepping stone. So he introduced our missionary to Africa, and later on, he quit our church because he asked for money, and we did not give them, so he just left the church. And usually they go for baptism, beating the drum. Okay, and this is water baptism, I think in Africa. Yeah. Okay. These are the most of the picture for your reference. Okay, can you turn on? Right. Now we have 7 minutes. We need to make a final conclusion of this section. Now we look into the teaching material. Teaching material. The TJC in those days. Number A, centennial remark, a heritage of spirituality and grace. So in past 100 years, TJC started from China, Beijing, 1917. When it reached to 2017, the church had reached 5 continents. And including Africa, we have about 15 churches, 15 countries, have a TJC there. And in the United States, there are 30 churches and house of prayer with a membership of about 3,800. Now, we thank God that even though we want more people to be converted, but through the help of God, we were able to reach this kind of degree. That is the work of God. And among these 100 years, there are so many blessings of God happened in our church. Endless of testimony and grace. We thank God for that. So right now, the mission has been point two, passing on the mission from generation to generation. So we receive this kind of training is to prepare ourselves ready to become the pillar of the local church. So after a few years later, or probably you graduate from college, then you start to be elected as church council member. Just like a few weeks ago, the San Diego church, they elect new council member, right? And most of them are all young people, right? Some of them are just graduated from college. Also, it's very possible the baton will be passing to you very soon. So it is a blessing, and it is an opportunity to serve God. So when it's time to pass a mission to you, let's be ready and carry on the mission and accomplish God's entrustment. So the TJC in next 100 years, if it can last so long, can be even more prosper and reach to every corner in the United States. The number two, B. Right now, we are facing at least two challenges. You can think about, besides prayer, what to do. Number one, before Jesus' ascension, he had a prayer in John chapter 17. And John chapter 17, there are three main points of Jesus' prayer. Sanctification, unity, and the glory of God. If the church is able to be sanctified and then be unified, and the name of God will be glorified. So these are the biggest challenges start from ascension of Jesus facing in the apostolic church. Nowadays, this is the biggest challenge of TJC. So Jesus Christ say, you live in the world, you should not depart from the world because you have to bear testimony for the Lord. Right? But you don't belong to the world and you have to be sanctified. So we are living in the world and either, just like Romans chapter 12, verse 2, right? Either transformation or conformation. We need to make a choice. Transformation, we become a true Christian. Conformation, we become a worldly Christian. So we are facing with this kind of difficulty. And this NYTS have been holding, start from the year of 1993 until now. It has been transformed a lot of people. I believe some of you, or most of you, have been transformed so far. This is a challenge, sanctification, especially last 5 years is even more difficult than any other years because everybody has smartphone and the internet becomes so popular. Mass media becomes so popular. People can bombard everybody with a very worldly content. So without spending more time to come here to clean up our pollution in our mind, really difficult, but all things are possible. The next one is unity. So John chapter 17, Jesus say, I will be in them so they can be unified. So how can we achieve unity? Very simple. When Jesus abides in the church will be unified. There are three things. First thing, we must preach the common faith. So in the church, we cannot allow preach any heresy or any which is different from our doctrine. That will cause division. It will become a yeast. We should hold on the heritage of the truth revealed to our early worker, the five basic doctrine. The teaching of the one true church. The second is a movement of the Holy Spirit. When we pray, the Holy Spirit moving in the church, and the church will be in one. The last is to bear one another, right? Everybody is different. Everybody has some room to improve. So we use the love to accept each other. The second, the bigger challenge, harvest is plentiful and workers are few. So in next 6 years, we are going to have another two full-time ministers retired. Right now we have, how many? 12. Another two retired, it's only 10. But we have 30 churches and house of prayer. Maybe some more is coming. But next 6 years, we will have only 10. So we are in urgent to recruit more TTP students. the next training will start from 2020, because right now we are 2017, 18, 19. The current training finished in 2019. So 2020 will be another training, right? Most of you are some of you are graduate from college, right? Maybe pray for it. If you have God's calling, enroll 2020. Worker can increase. We thank God from past 100 years is a blessing of God, and so many workers have been working so hard for the Lord, and we pray God continue to move everyone. Now we are going to conclude this section with 5 minutes of prayer. Let's kneel down and pray.